Did you know that in the U.S., more people die from MRSA each year than AIDS? That's according to the Centers for Disease Control. MRSA, or methicillin-resistant staph infection, is a bacterial infection that's resistant to some antibiotics. It's only deadly in rare cases. But MRSA and other drug-resistant bacteria are increasingly widespread and have public health officials worried that we may be turning back the clock to a time when there were no antibiotics. Dr. Brad Spellberg of UCLA's School of Medicine says that it's already happening. He tells the New York Times that for drug-resistant infections, quote, we're back to dancing around a bubbling cauldron while rubbing two chicken bones together. Well, how much do drug companies and antibiotic research play into this? Our next guest says a lot. Kevin Outerson says that although Americans take too many antibiotics, more new ones also need to be developed. Outerson is associate professor of law at Boston University. And professor, you say that drug companies have incentives to market as many antibiotics as possible while they still have a patent on a drug. But that's not in the interest of public health.
We call this patent holder waste. And the idea would be that the drug company might only have 10 or 15 years left on the patent from the time that they get approval from the FDA. And so what is a rational company to do? They're not going to sit back and use it as sparingly as possible, preserve it for the next generation, keep resistance low. No, they've invested hundreds of millions of dollars in this drug. They have a totally rational, understandable business incentive to sell as much of it as they can. So it's clear that companies have these valuable resources, these antibiotics. If public health was in charge, we wouldn't use them very often, especially in the first decade. But from the company's perspective, they have to sell in that first decade.
But you say public health isn't involved. Doctors are involved. You can't get an antibiotic without a prescription. So what role do doctors play in this?
Doctors play a critical role. If you have community use of antibiotics, obviously a doctor has written a prescription. Many times you have children, you probably have gone in and with an earache or something, or maybe a potential strep throat. And even if the physician has done the rapid diagnostic test saying that it's probably not strep throat, frequently we walk out of there with prescription for an antibiotic. That's completely ineffective, inappropriate for somebody with a viral infection. And yet it happens millions of times a year in the United States.
What happens to those people who are taking antibiotics that aren't going to do anything because they have a virus?
Sometimes the antibiotic can have a devastating effect on the person. It can clean out all of the healthy, normal bacteria that are in your intestine, in your gut. One of the most aggressive, dangerous, deadly hospital infections right now is something called Clostridium difficile, C. diff. It is caused by people taking antibiotics. If you don't take antibiotics or aren't exposed to somebody else, typically, the flora in your gut keeps this pathogen at bay. Once antibiotics are given and it passes through your intestine, it kills everything else, and Clostridium difficile sometimes will spread and totally wreck the person's digestive system. Some people have to have surgery that cuts out large pieces of their colon. People die, especially older people, of this. And it's caused by antibiotic overuse. There's not a doubt.
Are there studies, too, that show buildup of overuse of antibiotics over time and what that does to your body?
Well, certainly it's not just in your intestine. But the fact that you have taken antibiotics means that you yourself are more likely to be a carrier of a resistant infection. So if you looked at Americans today, a certain percentage of us, a large percentage, are carriers of MRSA. We may not have symptoms. Our body's defenses are normal. Immunity system is strong enough to keep it at bay, but it's on our hands or it's in our noses, this MRSA pathogen. And all it takes is for us to get sick enough so that our defenses are weakened. Or frequently when you see people have community-acquired MRSA, it's the high school athlete who plays football and scrapes himself in practice and has an open sore on his leg. And just breathing on it from somebody else in the locker room is enough. So we need to be aware that taking these drugs is not a harmless act. It does something negative to the population. It builds up resistance. It spreads these germs. Even if people don't have symptoms, they're there waiting for the moment in which we're weaker and susceptible.
Democratic Representative Henry Waxman of California says there is a market failure here. He and others are considering how to address this through legislation that would create tax breaks or longer patents. Can you tell us what you think needs to happen to create more incentives for drug companies to create the next new antibiotics?
We have to think very carefully here, because antibiotics, because it's very difficult to create them, you have to find many times a new mechanism of action, a new way to attack the bacteria. Some scientists are afraid that we are actually running out of the different types of antibiotics that are physically possible. And so we should be very careful to preserve and lengthen the life of the antibiotics we have now. One way to think about this is that we may be facing one of the most amazing and devastating ecological crises of this next century. If, in fact, it's very difficult to find new antibiotics, investing a lot of money now in bringing them to market and having them sold rapidly would be a terrible waste. I mean, think of it as if we were going to spend a lot of money to find and hunt the last buffalo. Scientists are concerned that we won't be able to find new classes of antibiotics. And so whatever incentives we create, they cannot be focused only on producing new drugs. We have to think also about conservation, conserving, prolonging, and renewable sources of antibiotic therapy.
And Professor, you also say we need to rethink the price of antibiotics.
Our research team has looked at some data and feels that antibiotics are completely inappropriately priced. What the whole country pays the drug companies is only about $4 billion a year in the United States. When you think about how valuable antibiotics are to human health in the United States, just a back-of-the-napkin sort of estimates range in the $100 to $200 billion. In other words, we're getting a great deal, and we're not paying enough as a society for antibiotics. And that's part of the reason why the companies are finding it difficult to go off and research new ones. If you go to the Walmart, how much does your antibiotic cost? You know, it's usually $4. And that sends, I think, the wrong message with such an important, valuable resource.
Well, what kind of message do you think the federal government is sending when it spent $94 million on research into treatments for potential bioterrorism agents, that was in 2009, and only $16 million on developing new medications to treat drug-resistant pathogens? What kind of message does that send?
Well, obviously, the country was investing in BioShield and the anti-terrorism effort for a completely different reason. It was really a strategic anti-terrorism agenda. Recent reports out have shown that a lot of the money that was spent on Project BioShield appear to have been wasted or really not resulted in anything helpful. We do not invest very much money in this country right now in antimicrobial resistance. The entire NIH budget for that category is something on order of $200 million a year. Again, considering the fact of how valuable and important this topic is and how you couldn't even do most modern surgeries without antibiotics, we should be investing a lot more.
And according to the Infectious Disease Society of America, only 5 of the 13 biggest pharma companies are still researching into antibiotics. What are they doing instead?
If you've looked at some of the prices of drugs recently, what are the most expensive drugs out there? They're the cancer drugs. Avastin can cost $70,000 for a very short-term treatment. For some people with cancer, it saves their life. And that's why the company can price it at $70,000. Antibiotics in the hospital, you may be on your deathbed and it saves your life. Maybe the hospital pays $200 or $300 to the drug company for that antibiotic. So the pricing is completely misshapen in this area. And it's no wonder that the companies are chasing oncology, because that's where the money is.
You've also been looking at what happens in other countries, and you say the Netherlands has a very effective system for reducing antibiotic resistance. What is it, and could it work here?
The Netherlands doesn't have any newer drugs or better drugs than we have, but what they do, they invest a lot of money and effort in preventing infections. If you are admitted to a Dutch hospital and you are not a Dutch citizen, they automatically test you before you go in to see whether or not you're carrying MRSA, the pathogen you mentioned at the beginning. And if you are, they decontaminate you and don't let you near anybody else until you're clean. We don't do that in the United States. And as a result, we have a MRSA epidemic in some hospitals in this country.
So you're talking about the Netherlands, but how does it affect the Netherlands that countries around it aren't doing as well as the Netherlands is in controlling infections and using antibiotics sparingly?
You know, if you go to Europe today, you can drive across the Dutch border without even slowing down. There's no border guard. There's nothing. One of the countries in Europe with the highest rate of antibiotic use is France. It's not that far away. So you would think that the Netherlands would have difficulty maintaining such excellent infection control and low rates of resistance with a completely open border and lots of neighbors who don't do the same thing. But it's simply not true. The Dutch hospitals are the safest place when it comes to hospital infections, because you can think of the hospital as like a greenhouse or a hothouse for these types of infections. The hospitals where antibiotics are used most intensively. If you can fix antibiotic use in hospital intensive care units, you can go a long way to resolving this problem.
We don't even do solid hand washing in most hospitals.
There's been some truly horrifying studies in which they put cameras and follow doctors around or look at the hand washing stations and notice how physicians and other people in hospitals will go from patient to patient to patient without doing the full hand washing regime that they should be doing. They are very focused on doing that in the Netherlands. Now, as a result, their infection rates are much lower, and the drugs that they have, same drugs that we have, their drugs are more effective because they've been used less, there's less resistance, and everyone is healthier as a result. So we should be investing in infection control. But if you talk to a hospital chief financial officer and say, listen, I'd like you to invest in infection control, they would smile at you and think you're naive, because if they had $10 million to invest in something, they're going to build a cardiac cath lab because you can bill Medicare for that and make millions. If you take $10 million and put it into infection control, there's no billing code for that. No one pays the hospitals to do that. And it's really just a cost center instead of a revenue center. So we should actually pay for what we want. And what we want is infection control and more effective antibiotics. We should be willing to put the incentives into that.
Kevin Ouderson is an associate professor of law at Boston University. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.